This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's get go around the NFL here in the loop, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. We begin with some huge, huge news from a game that happened yesterday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns. The Chiefs getting victory 21-7, but it might be one of those Pyrrhic victories, one of those victories where you're like, ooh, but yeah, at what cost? Because Patrick Mahomes got injured in this game. His ankle kind of, you know, got rolled up a little bit. And the thing that I found wild about it, right? Because it's one thing. He seems like he largely, or no, he didn't finish out the game, right? Like in this.
No.
Sometimes, you know, on in those instances, you're like, all right, well, he'll be fine throughout the week. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday, literally the day it happened, and I'll read it verbatim. Mahomes, who left today's game early with the right ankle injury, is considered to be week to week, a source says, based on the preliminary diagnosis. X-rays were negative. More tests and info coming on Monday, which obviously is today. On the day of the injury, to immediately be like, yeah, that's week to week.
Yeah.
That feels like that cast real doubts on whether or not he will play, or whether he will play on Saturday when the Texans visit the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Would you expect him to play?
I'm leaning towards no.
Like, I think he,
yeah, I think he's playing.
I say no.
Like, I mean, I understand there's the opportunity to shoot up. I remember last year he had one of those instances where he played hobbled and he just kind of made it shake or whatever. That feels like one that would be a little bit more reckless for a Kansas City Chiefs team that, I guess, they have a two-game lead on the Bills, but they don't have the tiebreaker, so they effectively have a one-game lead on the Bills. Mm-hmm. And I know that they want that home field and that bye in particular in a big way, so they probably want to keep playing for that. But also, all that's not going to matter if his leg fall off. Right. Like, I think they have to be careful. And you know my general thought process on the day-to-day, week-to-week designations is that usually that means, like, okay, if it's day-to-day, then we're a few days, right? Yeah. If it's week-to-week, then it might be a few
then
weeks.
Then it's not this week.
Right, exactly.
You know, I agree with you.
Then go day-to-day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I got real concerns about him playing.
Short week.
Immediately going to that place, right? If it was one, it would be one thing if they had, like, we'll see. on Monday they look at and they go, yeah, maybe week to week. Like that, that's, I mean, still, I would have some concerns. But immediately they're like, yeah, I don't know about this one, big dog.
Yeah, no, look, short week, high ankle sprain or ankle sprain. I think we've seen conflicting reports. I don't know what the latest is, but we'll get more as the week progresses. But you're right. I mean, they have... That's a team that stated goal is three world championships in a row. They would love to have the home field advantage. So there is a certain amount of, you know, balance that Andy Reid and all the medical staff and athletic trainers and all that have to walk. But I think they're going to err to the side of caution.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But a good point comes in on the text line, 713. I'll take a banged up Mahomes versus this D-line and secondary. Like, that, I mean, that would still be something that would be preferable.
Yeah.
However, you know what I would take even more? Carson bleeping Wentz playing football. Because you know what he's going to do, if anything? He's going to give you some chances.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to give you some chances.
Sometimes, like, he'll throw it right to you.
And you never want to see anyone get injured in particular, like in this very, very dangerous game, as we were talking about earlier. Right? We got a heavy dose of that with DeBose in this game, who, as you mentioned earlier, is, you know, he's still in Houston at the hospital, but he has movement in all his extremities and he is stable. So that is, like, something that is good. But man, this game really takes it out of you, right? And I mean, it's not out of just you, right? It takes it very much out of the players that play it, right? They're trading on their bodies. And so it gets a little uncomfortable. But with all that being said, that guy is a menace. And so to have him either limited or maybe not even in the game at all is quite a boost to the Texans, as was evidenced by Vegas, where the Kansas City Chiefs were, I believe, a three-point favorite at first. And then the news of Patrick Mahomes swung this thing about 6 points to where the Houston Texans are, in fact, three-point favorites in this game.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, because Vegas thinks the same thing we are, that they're going to err to the side of caution and he will not play.
Yeah, so that was huge news on the day. Some other news in that game: Nick Chubb broke his foot, so that could be the last time he plays for the Browns, as he is veering towards a free agency stint. Jameis Winston was benched in that game. I know that hurts people's feelings for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And Stefanski was not committal on where they're going forward there. So you might be done with Jameis for the year, which is kind of, I don't know. I was going to say kind of sad, but I don't know if it really matters that
kinda.
Much. But people found a little bit of joy in just seeing Jameis do his stuff.
He made the season a little better, I guess.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. The hip drop tackles continue. Obviously, we saw one of those with Joe Mixon. It took him to the sideline, and that really stopped the game for a second, at least for Texans fans. The thing that was nice, though, once he popped up, he walked off on his own power. He went directly to the bench as opposed to the blue tent. Obviously, he ended up playing more in that game. But you had that, and then you also had a hip drop tackle on A.J. Brown in the game where that was the Pennsylvania State Championship of sorts between the Eagles and the Steelers. And the hip drop, we're not getting rid of this, are we?
First of all, they can't officiate it. There was one called yesterday, but there were at least a couple others that I saw, including the Joe Mixon one, that in real time, they can't officiate it. So I don't know what they're going to end up doing with this, because it is a dangerous play. I mean, everybody on both sides of the field, say it's of the line of scrimmage, say it's a dangerous play.
Yeah. And this is, not to bring it back necessarily, but like, this is what I was saying about the people that are like, oh, well, you need to add a different rule when it comes to the sliding and all, a quarterback sliding early. And I'm like,
yeah,
but what happens if it, like, the rule is on the book, but it books, but it is not executed and officiated.
Yeah.
Right. There's a level of frustration. I think that's somewhat what we're getting here with the hip drop tackle. And even if you come back on the backside and find it, I do wonder if that is the prohibitive measure that you hoped it would be to stop those things from happening. Thankfully, did not hurt Joe Mixon in this instance, as last time it did. It took him away from this team for an extended period of time. So thankfully, he was good. I did mention that that Eagles-Steelers game. That game was a big one, and the Eagles got a 27-13 victory over the Steelers. And you hear that 27 points, like they were scoring, including the first touchdown of the game being from Hurts to A.J. Brown. So after the game, they went and did like a whole kid and play celebration, which I imagine was a very much a sign that we should all calm down. In fact, if you don't believe me, take it from A.J. Brown.
And after the touchdown, I know you guys have done it before, but was that kind of a good way to show people, like,
all right, we're good? For sure. That was our moment to tell everybody, shut up.
Just shut up.
That's right. 290 yards in the air. Does this assuage any of your doubts about that offense or the Eagles or what they can do?
I think the Eagles, obviously the Eagles are in a good spot in terms of getting to the postseason, but they also had some, as we're seeing right now, they had some more disarray on the sideline.
Yes, they did.
And
yes, they did.
All kinds of other things going on. I'll put it this way. I don't trust the Eagles.
And I think that's fair, but my lack of distrust absolutely stems from the place that we're seeing on the TV. Yeah. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't see, but that's Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
I fully believe that Howie Roseman, the general manager and executive or whatever of the Eagles, took Nick Sirianni from being like more of a head coach to just being kind of a figurehead. Mm-hmm. When he went and he was like, look, we're going to get you a new offensive coordinator and defense coordinator. Here is Kellen Moore for the offense. Here's Vic Fangio for the defense. They get to run their things. You just sit there and look pretty.
Yeah.
Like, I think that might be what the situation is. And he's out here trying to fire up his guys. I think Jalen Carter had a penalty where he slaps the helmet of one of those Steelers. And Nick Sirianni is going to go to the sideline and try and charge him up. And defensive line coach is like, oh, no, you're not. To my player.
No, you're not.
And that made me feel like, oh, he's not in charge of anything
down
here.
No, not at all. I mean, that defensive line coach, forget his name, but I mean,
I know Big Dom was over there.
Dom was over there
too. What we not going to do?
Yeah. I mean, it's figurehead. It's stand there and look pretty, like you said, but it's also just kind of the disarray is still in there. It's still within the organization.
Yeah, but the offense did seem to get on track. Those two, Hurts and Brown, connected 8 times for 110 yards, and the Eagles passing attack had 290 yards for 2 touchdowns, and the Steelers had only been allowing, about 218 a game. So there you go. Shout out to the Eagles, I guess. But more importantly, shout out to the Denver Broncos.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yes. The Indianapolis Colts lose 31-13 in what is what I have heard called as a pummeldrome. Are you familiar with the concept of a palindrome?
Oh, a palindrome.
Right,
yes.
Where it's a word spelled the same forwards and backwards. 31-13 is a score spelled the same backwards and forwards, except in this instance.
You and the scores.
In this instance.
What is wrong with you, man?
It is somebody getting their ass beat. And in this instance, that was the Colts, because what was interesting about this is that they had a lead early and they had an opportunity to put this up.
They were going up 20-7.
They would have if Jonathan Taylor would hold the football. He has a huge play down the right sideline, and as he is about to cross into the end zone, he drops the football, and that turns the football over. And then the Broncos, who had 3 interceptions to that point, mm-hmm. then start scoring a whole bunch of points. They ultimately win the game as evidence there, and that secures the AFC South, along with the Texans' victory for the Houston Texans, which is the 8th AFC South title since 2011 for the Texans. And the rest of the teams in the division since that time have only had 6.
Yeah, more than everybody else. But everybody's saying it. Everybody's playing it. Everybody's talking about it. But it's so true. How in the world does this happen?
It happened twice this week, mind you, because there was
the guy
Taylor,
from Cleveland.
Then, the Bengals also had
Bengals. Yeah, Bengals.
Yeah, and
how?
I
just
don't.
Take one more step before you kind of casually throw the ball.
The Bengals player, I think he was trying to switch hands for
and
some
it just
reason,
sort of whipped.
And it slipped out of his hands. Which, I mean, at that point, just get in the end zone, big dog.
Yeah,
but yeah, the one where you just let it drop. What is so cool a Cavalier about this, dog? Like. Why?
And that's exactly what it is. They're trying to be like, cool. Like, this was so easy, I'm just going to go ahead and drop the ball. Well, you dropped it before the end zone line. And the Colts also bleeped the bet on this stupid back pass that ended up being a pick 6.
Yeah. That was, who threw that pass? I remember who did, but Nick Bonito.
Was it Mitchell?
Yes, it was A.D. Mitchell. Shot H-Town. He tried to throw it back to Anthony Richardson. And Nick Bonito was like, thank you, I will take this.
Dude, that was the easiest pick six you'll ever see.
That was so easy. So shout out to the Colts who allowed the Texans to pull within one of AFC South rather titles. Colts have 9 total since the AFC South has been.
Well, Peyton Manning has.
Peyton Manning has a majority. I think Peyton Manning had 7 of those, and then the other 2 were Andrew Luck years.
Yeah.
But because obviously since 2011, they ain't been doing a lot of that. But yeah, back-to-back titles. Wait, well, actually, I shouldn't be the one to say that. Can you help me out right here, Fig? I feel like there's one person in particular who should be shouting that out. the computer.
2 years in a row, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like.
That's right.
Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
He says it with such anger. Looking forward to the playoffs.
That's right. So shout out to the Colts for helping.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, you did.
It's not a big man touchdown, but I feel like we should just talk about a big man. Did you see T'Vondre Sweat?
Oh boy!
I know he played for.
I was rooting for him.
I'm like,
go all the way, man!
But T'Vondre Sweat ends up with the football, and I don't know that I've seen a big man look so so fluid.
You haven't
with the football,
yeah.
And when I say big man, I do indeed mean
365.
That is 366. I think technically is the list.
I don't know if that's even accurate. It might be a little more than that.
He stiff armed a lineman.
Yeah,
like who does that, right? Like who? An offensive lineman? No, sit down.
That was my favorite play of the day, bar none. Like, not even. I saw it like moments after it happened on Twitter, and I'm showing all you guys in the. But look at this. Not only the stiff arm, he got to the sideline. It looked like he was about ready to start high stepping, man. Go full Deion.
Yeah.
But going down the sideline, and he was mobbed by his teammates. That was awesome.
Is there any way T'Vondre Sweat, like, played running back
in
Pee Wee football or something like
that? Sure.
And then I immediately go to the place. Those poor children that had to play against them. Like, I always think about that with any of these great athletes. Like, there was a point in time where we had regular human beings competing against them. Mm-hmm. And that's just not fair. Imagine now, T'Vondre, I don't know how big he was, but I have a strong feeling if you're 366 now, you've been big for at least a decent amount of time.
Yes,
here.
Your entire life.
You got close. There was a certain point in time where people were like, hey, we might have to check the birth certificate on this because this does not look like it's kosher.
Oh, he had his birth certificate checked multiple times. And the other thing about the run, like, he had it high and tight.
Yes.
Man. He had the nose of the ball covered, had it high and tight. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to T'Vondre Sweat. The only Titan that I'll give praise to this week.
Me too.
That's right. Shout out to that. And one more thing, just because I know you love it so much. The Bills boat raced the Lions in what was a really interesting football game. There were some more things that were interesting details within that. But the big thing that I just wanted to let you know about that 48-42 score is that...
Nope.
It's a scoregami, baby!
Oh, goodness.
The 190th unique score. No!
I think you're just making
you can
this
go
stuff
to, what
up.
Is it, NFLscoregami.com.
Oh, that's a scoregami. 14-7, that's a scoregami.
That's called like NFLscoregami.org.
That's what it is.
That's a scoregami.
It was the 190th unique final score in NFL history. It had never happened before that score line.
I think you're lying. I think you're lying. And...
Hey, pop off football, pro football reference. Go ahead and check them all for me.
And... Thank you, Dan Campbell, not just for the dumbest play of the day, trying to kick an onside kick with 10 plus, almost 11 minutes on the clock, and you're only down 10 points. When they know, obviously in the fourth quarter, you have to announce that you're doing an onside
Correct.
Kick. But then proving yet again why this term, this phrase, is an absolute cop-out. Cop-out.
Well, I thought we'd get the possession, I thought we could get that ball, and... one of Bates' best kicks that I've seen him have. That was a big kicker at the end. That thing took a good jump on us, and Hollis made a heck of a play on it. And, obviously now sitting here hindsight after been taking it down to the 3-yard line, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But
It is what it is.
That's the perfect example. When you don't want to answer a question, when you feel cornered and you feel like you're done.
That was not being cornered.
He answered the question.
He already answered a question.
He just said it is what. That's the biggest cop out.
It wasn't a cop out.
He gave a full blown answer.
He did
this,
not.
This was like a 20-second answer.
No, he gave it. He took responsibility.
Yeah,
and he said that
he said he would take it back.
He answered all the questions. You just mad that he has come to peace.
It is with what it is.
It is what it is. You can't change
here with that.
You'll hear. We'll come back to that. That particular play again later. By the way, the Lions, obviously, they lose that game. It felt very evident that they are injured as all hell.
They're in trouble now.
They lost three dudes in that, and possibly for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle, Aleem McNeil, I think it's Khalil, cornerback there, and then Carlton Davis also, who, by the way, hurt his jaw. That's got to be a terrible way to go. But
the Lions lost Montgomery too.
Lions are hurting.
Yeah.
Hurting. All right. Yeah, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to your AFC South champion Houston Texans, who hooped in this 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Let's give some appreciation to the fine folks that were playing well. We'll do it next.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to...
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere React Action Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, it's a Reaction Monday, but it's got a lot of different layers to it. It's a Texans victory Monday, and then also it is an AFC South title Monday because the Texans won 20-12 over the Miami Dolphins and the Colts lost in what I have heard called a pummel drone. They got beat up 31-13 versus the Denver Broncos. What a great day it was yesterday. Let's relive some of that by just talking about who were the great performers on a night where you had a, or a day rather. Because, I mean, it did almost go tonight because of the long, you know, delay in game, in the game due to the very serious injury that happened on the field. But, yeah, who were the big players? I appreciate the music here, Fig. Who hooped in this one?
Well, there's some obvious ones, and then I kind of want to get into some of the not-so-obvious ones.
But some of the obvious ones do need a little bit of extra
right.
talk, though.
That's right. Derek Stingley, arguably the best cornerback in the NFL this year.
That is something that...
He's all right.
He's all right. His teammates rather are starting to put on the press with the campaign for All Pro Sting, right? And I want to go and actually do a look at this in a deeper way to get a feel for this because like it does feel like he should have some level of recognition. Obviously, he's on that he was low on that top 10 list of Pro Bowl voters right now, But yeah, All Pro should be in consideration. I'm interested to see where he combines. Like I think I was looking earlier at passer rating against, and for the volume that he has, I think there's only like Kerry Joseph is probably the dude that I would say definitively has been better than him. At least just looking at passer rating against and the amount of passes that he's kind of plays that he's had in passing patterns or what have you. But other than that, like he should be. It feels like he's up there, right? We're talking about top two, top four cornerbacks if we're talking All Pro. He feels like he should absolutely be up in that category. And the two interceptions yesterday took him to being the first cornerback in NFL history and the seventh player to ever record two interceptions and two tackles. Or tackles for loss, rather, in a game, as Derek Stingley absolutely did
that. And I'm gonna show you just the influence that one Reggie Atitula has had on me.
Oh, no.
I'm going to talk about EPA.
Yeah! Advanced analytics!
There we go. I'm going to talk about EPA. -26.7.
Yeah, that's good. Because the other team is trying to get positive EPA.
My gosh, that's not good. That's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Been very, very good. First player in franchise history to record six total interceptions in the month of December over, you know, last two seasons he's done that. There's various other things that you can talk about. But I think the biggest thing is that I even felt, and I could easily be wrong with this. Again, another one of those days where I can't wait to get to some of the All-22 and look at this film a second time other than just kind of watching it as it progressed live. I turned to you guys and was like, does it feel like he's been a step slow in this game? And in that game, he has two interceptions. It feels like he was pretty sticky, all things considered. And I'm like, regardless, he is still that damn good. Like, shout out to Derek Stingley for being that much of a pest, of a deterrent. I mean, hell, Waddle goes out in this game, obviously, which was, you know, a terrible thing to see. His right knee injury. Yeah. I need to double check and see what the actual status of that was. But D'Amico Ryans is like, and that allowed us to just stick Stingley on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if it's any other, like, wide receiver one. That dude in particular has the crazy speed where even when you know, hey, we've got a guy that's great, you still kind of want to bracket. You still want to have that. They're like, no, we believe in Derek Stingley to handle up one-on-one. And he basically did.
Well, and keep in mind, on the play, his second interception, the clinching interception, that was against Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill was open. And Tyreek Hill had both hands on the ball.
And he
still got it.
And not only did he get it, like in that instance, it feels like any cornerback, probably a lesser cornerback, but it's still probably a good one, gets their hand between Tyreek Hill's hands and knocks it free.
No. He pulled it in.
No. He took that man's cookies.
Yeah. Exactly.
From a trail position.
Mm-hmm.
Like this dude, the ball skills that he has, just like the awareness, he seems to hit where he needs to get right at the right time.
Yeah.
Not earlier, not later, just at the perfect time. His sense of timing and, I mean, the coverage is just... I could wax poetic for a long time.
Well, stay tuned for confessions. Others hooped for sure of the big names. Kalen Bullock could have had another interception, but
should have had another interception.
But huge one. Will Anderson I mean, is a strip sack good? I mean,
I think it's good. I think it's good.
Danielle Hunter, another sack and a half, second in the NFL in sacks.
And he now has 99 and a half career sacks. So it feels inevitable that probably this weekend, but sometime soon, he will cross that threshold into 100
Which
sacks.
Is quite the threshold, especially as you start mentioning later in your career Hall of Fame credentials.
And I feel like now he gets, I think Danielle Hunter, I need to make sure that we start the campaign of one of, if not the best defensive line spin move guys. Because I always, I talked about it.
That first one he got was just stupid.
Woo, oh boy, the right tackle. I felt bad for him because I was like, ain't nothing you can do about that, buddy.
He had his hands out and then there was air.
Yeah. He was like, I swear he was just here.
He was just
here. I was
here.
About to block him and then he disappeared. I swear to God
he was
here.
Right there, right in front of me. Then he
like,
gone.
It's Jabril Peppers and I feel like Danielle Hunter's next now.
Yeah. CJ Stroud hooped. You know, we talked about it. In moments,
he restored the feeling in moments, especially those touchdowns where you saw him with time to throw, where he maneuvered the pocket well. I thought on the second touchdown as he's rolling to the right, which honestly, kind of a nicely designed play in my estimation. He's rolling to the right and, you know, the entire offense and defense, everybody in pass coverage is flowing to the right side of the field.
Yeah.
And he gives a point and a look back to the backside of the field where there are no Texans, by the way.
Yeah.
And the safety stops and it gives him just a little enough time to get the ball to Nico Collins. And I'm like, oh,
I like that.
He's feeling comfortable again.
Yeah, that's
see
what
him
I'm
kind of direct
about.
The traffic.
The old CJ.
100%.
And I would say Nico, two touchdowns is nothing to sneeze at in any game. Maybe he didn't have the yardage and the catches, but he's their go-to. He's their go-to in a pinch, including the touchdown in the back of the end zone that was kind of an improv.
Henry To'o.
Thank you.
Henry To'o was very good. I think he had probably the highest PFF ranking that he's had this year in coverage. He was good in coverage. He had the green dot. Like, I think that we cannot ignore how much responsibility is put on that person who has to do the communication on the field.
Yeah.
And Aziz has done it fantastically. It's one of the things that we give him a lot of credit for. And so, thusly, we need to give Henry a lot of credit for taking on that role in a year where he's already done a lot of progressing. There's already been a lot of growth for him. He had to step in. And I thought that Neville Hewitt would be the guy with the green dot. Wasn't he the one last time that you had a situation like this? No, it is Henry To'o playing alongside Christian Harris, taking on that role of being the guy who gets everybody in the right place. And not only did he do that, he triggered, he fired well, and he played pretty well in coverage against a team that likes getting over the middle of the field. He deserves a lot of credit.
I'm with you on that 100%. Henry To'o is just, especially with Christian Harris on the field, just that much better. And I want to mention one more that
and we probably should give Christian Harris some love
for coming
back immediately. One, winning you a bottle of wine.
82% of the snaps.
Playing all those snaps. And I think for the most, I mean, there was one of those plays where he is running laterally and he gets through the mass of humanity to go and get I don't know if it was a tackle for loss, but a tackle that, you know, it was a third down.
It was
for like a 1 yard gain, but it probably would have been.
HN had space.
It would have been space. It would have been like, or actually it was on second down and it makes it a third and long as opposed to what would have been a third and short or maybe even a first down.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you miss desperately from Christian Harris. And he brought that on day one after missing 13 weeks.
He slips blocks and avoids blocks so well. I don't have a comparison, but I mean, it's like he's always taking the right angle, dropping his shoulder at just the right time, whatever it may be to avoid traffic and making the play. But I want to talk about Jimmy Ward.
Yes, agreed.
Jimmy Ward, I flat out was one of my worries going into the game. You know, not exactly his preferred position. You could argue not his best position, even though he's played it a lot. 97% of the snaps, which I'm guessing means he only missed one. Second in tackles. He did everything you could have possibly done at that spot against a team that went sideline to sideline, as we kept talking about. Jimmy Ward played a hell of a game.
Yeah, the entire defense, you know, deserves a hat tip for this, but Jimmy Ward will be the one that I will use as the entry point to this. Shedding tackles and getting to the spaces in the flats was going to be super important for those guys, you know, the cornerbacks that were playing, and obviously he's kind of playing that nickelback kind of role. And I can vividly remember one of those plays off to the right where I think it was Achan, you know, in the flat there, and he has if he does not shed that block and get to the backfield for the tackle for loss, another opportunity where now you're getting the guy in space and going and doing things. They did that time and time again. The physicality that he brings, obviously, in that role. He is falling right back into the role that he played with the Niners and with ease. And I know that's there's a little bit of sacrifice there because that's not something that he wanted to do, but he stepped in and he's handled it very, very well. Salute to Jimmy Ward. Is there anybody else on offense that you want to give a little shout out to?
Because it was also a special teams play, but Dare Ogunbowale,
yes,
with the big, not just fake punt, run, but also it got to the point in the second half. Oh, Dari's on the field. They're going to throw.
We all know what time that is.
I mean, sometimes they've tried to hide it. They didn't even try to hide it this time. No. And he made those extra blocks, gave CJ that extra time.
Although he did have one, man. Some of these games that are happening up front, like that, still needs to be fixed. Because there was one of those instances where he comes up and it's him and Titus are the guys to pick up these two guys that are twisting, and neither of them do anything when it comes to those guys.
Dario was on the field. Oh, they're throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Still did his job.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So shout out to all the players that hooped, and I'm sure, I mean, there was more, I'm certain, that we probably could give some Tim Settle being stout in the middle still there. Even Fatu Kasi, before he got injured again, which a little disappointing, but stopping the run, continuing to show why he is that guy, why you went and got him to be able to stop the run, like immediately got back to that. And then, of course, shout out to Tommy Togiai, who continues to, like, from a practice squad guy, continues to, when he plays, he's holding his own, right? It may not be, like, otherworldly, but he's not a step down from what you previously had, and I think that means a lot. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, some of the other things that happened over the weekend, including, hey, you remember how the Astros traded Kyle Tucker? And then also, the Rockets unfortunately fall in the NBA Cup. We'll talk about all that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' after a fun weekend of Houston sports. Well, some stuff was fun, some stuff was not as fun, but interesting all the way up and down. And actually, before we get to any of that, right, remember, Texans, AFC South champions. How'd I say
AFC it, South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
2 years in a row!
I have a request from
Brian.
From one of our listeners on the bat phone named Captain Scott Null from the Bite Me podcast. He says, I wish Figgy would stop playing that. I'm getting PTSD. But I get it.
Doesn't matter what it sounds like. Hey, doesn't matter what it sounds like.
You know what? Hit him again.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Man. Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like. Yeah, back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Exactly.
I didn't even ask that's you right. about that. I was asking something else.
That's right. Shout out to the Texans there. Also, I guess, shout out to the Rockets. They did lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday in the NBA Cup semifinals. But shout out to a lot of these young Rockets who add a little money to their pockets for being the losers in the semifinal, for being semifinalists in the NBA Cup. Each Rocket receives $102,994 in prize money for that finish in the NBA Cup.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That is an uptick from the $1,000 that it was last year, because the CBA has agreed that kind of upticks with the profit generation year over year. But yeah, man, it does feel like the teams and the players have bought into this particular cup, and I wonder how much of that is getting a little extra scratch. But it seems like this team in particular, the Rockets, because of the Ime Udoka kind of mentality, of effort and energy and all those things, they seem to do it just because they were relishing the opportunity at relatively high stakes basketball.
I do think once you get to this level, it actually feels more special for the players as well, because you're going to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
you know, you have the national television audience, which obviously you play in national televised games otherwise. But you know, I'm it's growing on me. The whole
Is
it the Emirates Cup officially or whatever it's called?
Emirates NBA Cup. The NBA Cup is the name of it, but then you know they got to make sure to add some sponsors to get some money.
I still think, you know, for the most part, if they hadn't played the Warriors, that game wouldn't have felt quite as big as it did, but it did. But once you get to Vegas, it's like, all right, this is different. This is a little more meaningful.
Now, that game in particular against the Thunder was a matchup of the best defense in the league versus the second best defense in the league, the Thunder and Rockets respectively. The problem is that the Rockets don't have nearly as much offense as the Thunder do defense. And so it was 111-96 finish in which Amen Thompson was your leading scorer, and it felt like he was just finding buckets as opposed to like having a particular offensive, explosion in the way he went about it. What was your general impression? I mean, Rockets did have seven players in double digits, but it just wasn't enough to match up with the three players that had 20 points or more for the Thunder.
Well, my general impression was more of a kind of a macro look, the proverbial 30,000 look. The Thunder looked like a team that with a little stakes on the table. They know how to finish a game because the Rockets were kind of there. It was kind of a closer game. And then the Thunder just said, all right, this is what teams like us do.
Well, I think, I think this is a team that's already been through.
That's
some
what
of
I'm
that.
Saying.
And, and they have the profile of players that are necessary to do that.
That can
right?
do that.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy who can go get his bucket. Yes. Yes. He gets officiated in such a way where those fouls come in. But that is in part because he has incredible body control.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I always marvel at. And that is one of those things where he ends up going to the free throw line 15 times in a game. But you also have Jalen Williams as a secondary offensive player. And I think that the Thunder have always been a team that you kind of look at when it comes to the timeline of things mm-hmm. and the decision to not...
They're ahead of you.
Exactly. Yeah. But the decision to not consolidate players, young talent, in order to go get a star. Remember, mm-hmm. that was the topic of conversation for the Thunder a couple years ago.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right? The Rockets are in that place. But I think it does, again, highlight, though, that you definitely need to have that growth offensively. Mm-hmm. Have a player that you can go to. Because I thought this game, more than the Warriors game, showed that, you don't have that place
you're
to roll the ball out
there
and go get it.
Yeah,
for sure. But it's still encouraging.
It's very encouraging. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, that they made the Thunder sweat for the first half offensively. They 18 and 23 points in the first and second quarter, respectively. It was the second half where the scoring was able to open up for the Thunder, and the Rockets just couldn't keep up. Still a very good basketball team. Still top three in the West, and they move. Mm-hmm. And shout out to the fellas adding a little bit of scratch as well. Some other things around when it comes to what's popping. You'll remember Kyle Tucker is no longer an Astro. He was traded to the Chicago Cubs for, let me see if I can remember off top, third baseman Isaac Paredes, who has played first base. He played, I think, 17 games at first mm-hmm. last year. I do find that interesting because of some rumors that we'll talk about here in a second. In addition, third base prospect Cam Smith. And then also Hayden Wisniewski, mm-hmm. who is a local kid.
Cy Fair, somewhere in there.
And by the way, he was tweeting after the game yesterday, celebrating the AFC South title as well. So he's already bought in.
He already in.
Already
Let's
in.
Let's go,
baby.
Houston.
One of us.
Course,
I mean, he's from here, man. Yeah. So that does it. But you had that trade. But then also, rumors continue to abound. Nolan Arenado could be a trade target to play third base. Mm-hmm. But it feels more and more. Although, they said that they're not out on the Alex Bregman thing. Like, where do you stand on this, first and foremost?
I don't mean this as a personal assault, Dana, but okay, Cowboy. Let's listen to what Dana Brown said about the Bregman thing. First of all, let's listen to it first because he said it didn't impact their pursuit of Bregman.
This is
pretty much Alex Bregman's status is still the way it is. Nothing has changed since the last time I've talked to you guys. I mean, we've been busy with a lot of different things. As I realize, he's probably been busy trying to find a landing spot, but it's still pretty much the same where we were on Tuesday. I think it was.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not the same. The entire, profile, the entire landscape has changed. First of all, one of the things.
Well, I don't know. The conversations and negotiations could be the same, but at least now they have contingencies. In fact, he went further.
But the contingencies have changed the pursuit. I don't see how they couldn't. You mentioned it, but this is a third baseman.
You put the sauce on it.
Cam Smith is a third base prospect, a high third base prospect.
Yes, he's in Double A. So the idea is that he might be at the major league level.
And then there's Arenado.
But Arenado's not done. That feels very much like,
these two guys, you already got a third baseman and a high third base prospect.
But remember what Scott Boras says.
Yeah.
Bregman doesn't have to play third.
Okay.
He can play other positions.
Who plays second? Who plays second base for the Astros?
I don't know. Maybe only maybe like the most revered Astro of all time.
I mean, you can't say nothing has changed when everything has changed. And by the way, he said he doesn't think it impacts. We don't have to listen to this, but I'm paraphrasing. He said he doesn't think it impacts their pursuit of Bregman. Well, it might impact Bregman's pursuit of you.
That's a possibility. Yeah, so I don't know. I do feel better that they have some level of contingencies now in place.
Yeah.
I do. Dana Brown did talk about Framber Valdez because obviously once you trade Kyle mm-hmm. Tucker, I think that's an acknowledgement. Hey, he's probably wasn't going to sign. right, when he becomes a free agent, and so you were going to go ahead and get something for him, which is a little bit of a departure from the way that they've handled stars. Obviously, you talk about Springer, you talk about Correa, you talk about, well, I guess Bregman is still up in the air.
Yeah, who knows?
But you have those couple of guys that, hey, you had those guys, and you let it go all the way till free agency, and then you really did not compete in a strong way to retain their services, and you bid them adieu. This was a departure in sending Kyle Tucker away, which then raises the question of, hey, Framber Valdez, are you going to do that? Can you give me a Dana Brown cut 10 here? Because it seems like maybe this is an anomaly more than a change in MO.
With Valdez, you know, we are not aggressively trying to trade him. I know he's the top part of our rotation with him and Brown, you know, one and two. And so, you know, we're not aggressively trying to move him, but we'll listen. But, you know, if you ask me if you think we're going to trade Valdez, I don't think we're trading Valdez. I think he's part of our pillar, and it's really tough to keep a rotation intact. And we really feel like he's going to be an important one in our rotation.
I do feel they're more inclined. That doesn't mean that they're going to, but they're more inclined to try to keep Framber and sign him. But I don't think it's a done deal by any stretch. I mean, he said it a couple times, you know, we'll listen.
Which I was like, I don't know what to make of this, because the idea that he's, you know, being that outward, like, I don't think we'll do it. But then being like, yeah, we'll listen, feels like, hey, everybody out there, you're going to need to come correct with your offer if you want to come up off him. And so I don't know. I'm still interested in seeing how they do the try and garner value there. But one of the things that Figgy did mention while we were in D.C., because we were talking about this on the bus, we were talking about it all weekend, really. Yeah. We were very Astros out. I bet, because it was funny, being around other media members, and they're talking about various football things, and it's just the Houston guys over here like, yeah, but the Astros and this and that. It had to be funny. But when it comes down to it, like, Framber could still be, if you do ultimately trade him, you could still trade him during the season and probably get a decent return still, even though it would be a rental at that point.
Yeah, I think that's probably the plan, because I don't think they're going in full rebuild mode right now, but if the season go off the rails, then it will be a fire sale, and I think a lot of teams will be trying to get a ace in Framber as a rental
to
make a push.
Let's just keep also in mind Dana Brown. I was trying to find it, but Dana Brown did say about this time
last year that
we're not trading Kyle Tucker.
Well, yeah, we'll get an extension done and all that.
We're not trading Kyle Tucker.
That man wears a C on his hat. Yeah. Dana Brown did also say, though, and this is the thing where you go, yeah, that might be some BS.
Yeah.
They haven't had extension talks with Valdez in a while, and that, you know, they'll wait until later on in the season to have those. And I was like, oh, that does not sound like a good idea. No. I feel like y'all should probably be having extension talks right now. There's a lot
exactly
of things.
Exactly, why not have you? Have
there's
you
a lot of things that they still need to figure out, because as of right now, what is the outfield, Figgy? Right, it's like McCormick, Myers.
Yeah, Myers and
question mark at left field.
Yeah, who knows?
So that doesn't feel
and he
like
mentioned them. I'm yes. like, ew.
Yeah, like that. That
what
is
do you like to say?
I'm like, that's nasty word, man.
You always say boo.
Yeah, boo that man.
Boo that man.
Yeah, that's right. So oof, I'm not certain about that, and maybe that means that there's still some work to be done. But real quick before we go, I do like the Isak Paredes. I've mentioned him a few times. I thought he was very good in Tampa early on last year, and then he went to the Cubs and didn't play well, and of course, Cubs have been nasty. I was looking a little bit at some of the, you know, some more of his stuff. Most of his home runs have gone to left field. Mm-hmm. And you know what's nice about playing at the newly named Daikin Park? Got that short Porsche left.
That would be left field.
Like, that might be helpful for him as well, as a dude who, by the way, they also view as a guy where they'll determine how they'll use him once the offseason plays out. I think that's like a, hey, if we need to put him at first, we can, or he'll play third if that's an absolute last case scenario. Yeah. So a little bit of versatility there for the Astros, which is nice at least. But still some things to be seen with this Astros team. And of course, as we mentioned, Nolan Arenado seems like he is out there. Chandler Rome's been on it this offseason for the Astros, putting out the idea that Nolan Arenado is a deal that they have talked extensively about, is an interesting one for sure for a potential third baseman who plays at a high level but is also older. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we should be hearing from D'Amico Ryans. As remember, the week is shortened up. It is a 6-day sprint to Saturday at Kansas City for Arrowhead. And let's hear what D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, has to say. We'll do that next.